Well, good morning to you. It is still morning, so we're safe there. I keep rolling around my mind, you know, I've been doing this forever. It seems like preaching is just something I've done for a long time. And I know that people ask the question, do you still get nervous? And I'm going to tell you that, yes, I do. I have been preaching 60 plus years, and that's nothing necessary to brag about, but it's just a fact. And I still concern myself about, is it going to be okay? And I often tell my wife that preachers are a lot like cooks. Well, not just preachers, but whenever you have to speak in public and you have to give a thought, you have to give a topic. I've heard it over and over from that podium there and up here that, I struggled. I really struggled. Well, I understand. I can identify with you. I didn't know what to speak on and just trying to get a topic. Well, I hear that in the kitchen. I hope they like my meal. I wonder if I did the right thing. I hear you ladies talk about it. I know that's a struggle you have, and you'll always have it. You know why? Because you want it to be the best. Kind of like us preachers. We want it to be the best. I don't know. It doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always that way in the kitchen. I know that. I know that sometimes we men, we have to eat it regardless. We just eat it. Did you like it? Yes, all right. Aha, I can tell that wasn't all right. Years ago, when we preached, we don't do it as much anymore. I don't know what's going on, but it's okay. Preachers, we'd line up in the back, all us preachers. I guess it was a Mennonite thing. We don't do that anymore. I'm kind of glad we don't, because, you had to put on your special garb to be in that lineup. And there were special things happened there. Everybody came through and greeted the preacher. And there was an obligation that took place. They had to tell the preacher it was a good sermon. And I'm like, really? I suppose that you've gone home and I've gone home and wondered, why did I even go? What was the purpose of it? That was such a mess of you don't even know what to call it. So with that said, I would ask you, why did you come to church? What was the reason? I've struggled with that. There are Sundays I don't want to go to church. There are a lot of prayer meetings I'd just soon stay home. But you know what? That's not where it's at. Recently, I've been made aware of the fact that one of the reasons that I need to go is the fact not to make myself more spiritual. A lot of times I think we go to church because we think that's spiritual. That's really where it makes a difference. Well, after all, my neighbors know that I'm supposed to be in the church, and they don't like it if I, they'll talk about me if I don't go to church. So I'll go to church to please my neighbor, or a friend, or just to be seen, or whatever. And all those reasons are just full of air. They don't amount to anything. I think if I could say to you that I believe that we ought to get it in our minds to come to church to learn. Learn what? To learn about Christianity, Bible, being Christ followers, encouraging each other. There's so much that we need to do in the areas of learning to find our way. And I keep thinking about that such an important part of being here. Well, I didn't even give you a text yet, and I'm almost done preaching. I'd like to take us to the book of Proverbs, which is one of my, you've heard me say this, that's the thing, you know, after so many years of preaching, what are you going to say? You said it all. I keep saying it. I repeat myself, and what is there to do? After a while, that's all that's left. You know, I haven't got many years left, and most of you know that. I've had a lot of close calls. I had an NDE, and I'm still here. I'm glad I'm here because I do enjoy being here. I enjoy church. I really do. It's some of that stuff I said, it's used to be. But I older I am, the more I enjoy this. I also know the fact that the smaller the group, the less energy preachers have. That's a fact. I've been in large groups, I've been in small groups. In real small groups, I didn't have much energy this morning, so we'll just do the best we can. But we're glad you're here, whoever you are. It is important. But yes, I've done weddings, funerals, conferences. Some have been good, some have been not been so great. But I've been there. And I've heard preachers say this, and you know, you have these preachers that speak in very large, like 100,000 people, and oh, can they get on it? Well, I could too if I was in that, if I had that large an audience. I don't know if you believe this or not, but there's energy in the amount of numbers you have. It really works. It makes a difference. Well, regardless, that's not part of it. So Proverbs chapter 9 is where I want to go. And I am using the King James, so it may be a little bit trifle different in what you have. A lot of different translations here, and so it may be a bit different, and I hope it will make the same amount of sense that this does to me. And I'm not totally sure of where this is all going to go yet. I worked on it, and it's not a new diagram. It's something I've used before, and I told my wife, I said, I've preached many a wedding sermon out of this verse. Wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And now it's not appropriate to go preach a wedding sermon in a setting like this. It's not what you do. We do have a little sense in what we do. Not much, but a little. So it's not the kind of thing that you would do in this setting. So some time ago, I built me a new outline that has to do with life rather than just, you know, it was pretty easy to do a wedding, a marriage sermon out of this because seven pillars. It's not difficult to come up with seven pillars of home life. Marriage, what to do, how you husbands should act, and how you ladies should respond. I mean, I got that down pat. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. This is not just started. I've been trying to be a husband for over 66 years, so I'm still trying to be a husband. And my wife is trying to be a wife, and we're at it. We're learning. We're getting there. But I'll tell you, I have a feeling that when we get there, it's going to be over. It's going to be a new start. Glory. I'm ready for that. I really am. I know you get tired of hearing this, but I'll tell you what, folks. I enjoy life. I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be here. But I also know that I'm not going to be here long. I almost made it. But the Lord said, no, one time. I said, okay, I'll go with that. Even the doctor said, it wasn't your time. God isn't done with you. And I keep thinking, God, what do you want? What is it that you want anyhow? I don't do much preaching. But I do talk a lot of people. People come to me all the time. And I don't know if that's it or not. I don't know. But anyhow, let's go to the scripture. Wisdom has built her house, and she's hewn her out 7 pillars. Now, I can get 7. Now, by the way, 7, do you realize, I'm sure you do, I'll remind you, 7 is a perfect number. It's God's number. Let me see. 1, 3, 5, 7 are God's numbers. They belong to Him. And if you follow those numbers in the Bible, you'll discover that they're very important. They mean something. They have a specific meaning in the Bible. That wasn't my text, but we need to say that because number 7 is an important number here in this text. She has 7 pillars. Now, what are they? Well, I can get 7 out of this. It says, let me read on. She hath killed her beast. She has mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest place of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she said to him. What did she say? Well, come eat my bread, she said. What does that mean? And drink of the wine which I mingled. Forsake the foolish. Live. Go in the way of understanding. That's where I'm going to stop. Now, I could pull 7 out of that. But I can't make it relevant. Struggle with that. It doesn't want to work for me. I'm going to give you the 7 of those, because those aren't the ones that I'm going to use. But the 7 that I pull out of that says, she kills her beasts, she mingles her wine, she furnishes her table, she sends forth her maidens, she cries in high places, invites you to eat bread and wine, and forsakes the foolish. Now, that you could take those 7. But I didn't like those 7 that I got out of that. And I hunted around and discovered there are others that I can use. There's others that I'd like better. Fits better. Now, pillar, what does a pillar do? Pillars, you can't hardly build a house without a pillar. You can't build a building without a pillar. They're architecturally to help to do what? You don't see the pillars in here, but they're here. Hold this building up. To make it strong. To help it to be what it's supposed to be. Let's go to chapter 8. I want to read something for you. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She stands in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She cries at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming in at the doors." By the way, what is wisdom? In your mind, you don't have to tell me, but think about it. What is wisdom? Oh, well, that's being smart. No, it's not. It's making good choices. It has its place with us as human beings controlling, but that's not the word I want. In life, just doing life, I guess, we need to be wise. Very well so. But have you ever noticed how it always refers, wisdom is feminine? It's always she, her, everywhere in the Bible, talks about wisdom, it talks about she and her. Now, some have interpreted wisdom to be the Spirit of God. Well, I believe that. I don't have a problem with that. That wisdom is the Spirit of God in us. And I believe that there's a lot of dynamics that go on here that would indicate that that is true. But there are parallels. Excuse me. I think there are parallels between the woman and this subject. Excuse me. Talking too loud. So while you think about that, I'll do something else. I'm going to, I found the seven pillars, by the way, that I want to use out of Isaiah 11, verse 1. Now, before I go there, before I do that, I could tell you the Hebrew meanings of this, but I won't because it doesn't mean anything to you. The Hebrew words for that are, if I was a Hebrew, I could translate it for you, but I'm not a Hebrew, so I can't do that. Although I have books that tell me what they are, and you know, we have Google and we have all these fancy stuff. We can figure things out. And but when you're done, you know, when I'm done with all this, I don't know any more than I did when I started. So it's kind of a waste of time. However, back in chapter 9, we are noticing the number 7 here very specifically. It denotes perfection, a covenant number, expresses harmony and unity, and generally the signature of holiness, blessing, completeness, and rest. Number 7. Very important number in the Bible. The seven pillars that I find here are rest in Isaiah 11, rest, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear. Now we go to Proverbs chapter 8, and we look at verse 12. Verse 13, he says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom. One of the things that really come to me in this area of wisdom is the fact of relationships, human relationships. I think of Samson. There is a topic or a subject that was written by James McDonald. You don't know who that is, and I'm not sure I know. But he wrote this about being a sensual wanderer. Now you wonder, where in the world is he going? Well, I have a plan here, but I hope you can stick with me. In Judges 14 through 16 is about Samson, and it's known as a sensual wanderer is the subject. He said, I want it. This is how he starts out. I want it, and I'm going to have it. It doesn't matter what it costs me or what it costs you. Think of all the seemingly harmless little indulgence that we like. that we want and that we must have. These desires don't always start bad, but allowed to take their course, they spiral to their destruction end. Desires turn to addictions, and before we realize it, we can consumed with whatever sensual pursuit we think of will please us. Food, alcohol, sex, entertainment, caffeine, control, whatever we want, as much as we want, no matter what. If God's Spirit is shaking you, awake on the trap you've slid into. I mentioned earlier about the fact of how that we have some of the same problems that we deal with. And I you ladies, I'm going to say something nice about it, so don't get excited. It'll be nice. You have an intuition about things. And I don't know why this is coming this way and why it's fitting in here, but it is. And I'm going to have to tell you what it is because it's been bothering me for too long. So I'm going to have to get it out. We're very different, men and women. Isn't that great? I mean, I'm kind of glad it's like that because if I was like my wife, we wouldn't get anywhere. We'd be in the grocery store all the time, looking for something, looking for a bargain. And if she was like me, she'd have had bought the whole thing already and been home. What the world is wrong with us anyhow? Don't we understand that that's how it is? You men, I know how you are. You want something to the hardware. You know what you want. You know where it's at? You don't care how much it costs. Most of us don't. I mean, you don't. I might. Not always. But you don't worry about how much it weighs and compare it with something else. Okay, here I got this, weighs this much, this weighs this much, this costs this much. I'm going to buy this. It weighs more, it costs less. You familiar with that? You girls are afraid to shake your head. I'm afraid to let me know. I'm familiar with it. It's not a bad thing, folks. It's not a bad thing. But little to understand, if we don't understand these things, we get into a big problem. They cause problems in our relationships. Now, I've shared with you some of the things that are here. But you didn't see any of that, did you? I didn't either. But it's there. Notice, go back to chapter 8, how that wisdom is crying out. And I believe the Holy Spirit does that. Cries out at us to do different and do right. Don't argue about things. Don't fuss about it. Get it right. It's not easy. I know that. Been at it a long time. I've been trying to figure this woman out for 66 years, and I hadn't figured it out yet. But I still love her. She's good. Otherwise, I'd just get rid of her. But I ain't going to do that. I surely don't want to start over. Been out too long. I'm going to do the best I can with what I got. But let me tell you something. I think we men and we women, I didn't come out right. You women, we men have some things to learn. And we need to be very careful that we don't abuse that. Intuition And I used the word practical, but that my wife said that wasn't a good word, so I better not use it. But us men, you know how we are. We want something, we buy it. Has your wife ever said to you, I don't feel right about this? And you're like, what's wrong with it? And she says, I don't know, but it don't feel right. That's intuition. Brother, you better learn to listen to that. A problem with us men is, if you can't tell me what's wrong with that car, then I'm buying it regardless what you feel. You ever do that? It might not be a car, it might be a boat. It might be a motorcycle. It might be a tractor. It might be a horse. It might be a cow. It might be whatever. And you say to yourself, I don't know. You can't tell me what's wrong with that, so I'm just going to buy it. And then the dumb thing dies on you. Or blows up or falls, whatever. And you say to yourself, I wonder why that happened. And the wife said, yeah, but she won't do this. But she could. Told you so. What'd you tell me? Well, I don't know. See, the problem is you ladies have, that didn't sound right either, but please forgive me for that, but is the fact that you know something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. That's intuition. I am tempted, but I'm not going to do it. There's a temptation in this pulpit to tell you some stories, because when you're married as long as I am, you got some stories. And you have some too. If you think about it, you've got a few stories too. They're not just stories, they're actual happenings. You might have had a horse that died because you shouldn't have bought him. The wife told you there's something wrong with that horse. Well, what's wrong with it? I don't know, but there's something wrong with it. I'm using that as an illustration. I probably never happened, but there are things that have happened. Now, the problem with this is the abuse of that. I like, and the fact that I love my wife, and I don't love her enough, that when she says, I don't feel right about it, for me to walk away from it. It might be what I want. You know, Samson's whole idea was he said, I'm going to go get it. I want it. I'm going to have it. Oh, we have sort of have that same problem sometimes. We want it. We're going to get it. That's us men. And our wife says, no, you shouldn't. Well, why not? I don't know. That's a weakness, I believe, that I would say, but don't abuse it. It's a good thing. If you only knew, if you could say, well, the motor's bad, or the tires are bad, or you know, something like that. That horse has gonorrhea, which I don't know if they have that or not, but you could say that. If you could do that, then you could give me some sense in the whole process, and I wouldn't feel so bad about walking away. But if you can't tell me what's wrong with that, I have a hard time walking away from it. But guess what? Time's closed. But still, oh, I could tell you some stuff that I have experienced because I was too stubborn to listen. And I guess God wanted me to say that because he just got it on my mind. But I have done that. And I've had to go back and say, I'm sorry, but you were right. It's happened the other way too. There have been some times when I got to listen to that. And, I'm sorry. I guess I eat crow. Yeah, we all do, don't we? We eat crow sometimes. I don't know why we say that. Why do we eat crow? It's bitter stuff, I know that. Well, we need to go back to what Brother said this morning in rejoicing in all of things. We need to learn to know that God really, wisdom, if wisdom is the Spirit of God. Can you picture that? He's crying out and trying to get us to do right and to want us to do the things that are for Him important. Well, it's time to close. Let's do that. Walter, where are you at? There you are. We got a song.
It's Jesus Christ, 179 in the folder.
Okay. So, I think you... Now, that song requires a lot of bass. So, you bass people, get your act together on this, because we're going to need that. I love the song. So, I expect to hear it. Let's stand and we'll close with prayer.